Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and verse 1. John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And our subject this morning is the purpose of the Word, the purpose of the Word. Well, we come this morning to consider these wonderful words before us from the Gospel according to John, the very beginning of the Gospel. And words that are so significant and so important, you'll be hard-pressed to find most more important and significant words than these in the whole of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this is, of course, a verse that we could spend much time examining and dissecting and meditating upon many days and months and even years. But in the very brief time that we have, I will only be able to just touch on the wonderful themes and applications that come out of this tremendous verse. And of course, my intention as always in the morning service is to apply these words evangelistically, to speak to those who do not yet know the Lord for themselves. So these words are at the very start of the Gospel of John, as I've already explained. And the specific purpose of the Gospel of John, as we've been considering in our evening teaching service, we're studying the Gospel according to John in our teaching service at the moment. And so we should, most of us should know very well that the purpose of this gospel is to show the divinity of Christ, to show that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. And so this is how the Apostle John begins his gospel, with a declaration that Christ is divine. This is what we see here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, of course, is Christ. He is the Word. The Lord Jesus is being spoken of here. In the beginning was the Word. And the beginning, well, what is the beginning? Well, that is the very beginning of creation. That is the when of this verse. So we've got the who. Who is the Word? It's the Lord Jesus. When is the beginning? It is the very beginning of creation, when the heaven and the earth was created. This is the same beginning as we read of in the book of Genesis, right at the start of the Bible, the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's the same beginning that we're reading of here. And so what John is saying, this is how he begins his gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ was there at the beginning of creation. How is that? Well, because he is divine, because he is God. When God created the world, he was there. He is God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ did not begin existing when he was born in Bethlehem, nor did he begin existing when he was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. We read that here, even at the beginning of creation, he was. He already was in existence, and he didn't even start at the beginning of creation. You have the beginning of creation, and the Word already was. He already was. He didn't start even then. He already was the Word. He's always existed. He's never had a beginning. He will never have an end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Well, how do we explain that? Well, of course, I won't go into great detail, but we know that we believe in a triune God. That's what the Scriptures reveal to us that there is one God. Yes, we don't believe in three gods, but there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are three distinct persons within the one Godhead. So he was with God, he's God the Son. There's God the Father, God the Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, of course. So he is God, but he was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the second person of the triune Godhead, and the Word was God. Each person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equally God. And of course, these things are mysterious. These things are difficult to understand, but this is how we understand these things. This is the truth of the Word of God. One God, and yet three persons. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the second person of the Trinity. And he it was who came down from heaven to earth, born of a virgin and dwelt amongst men. The God-man, fully God, and yet fully man. And this disciple, John, he saw him, he walked with him, and he knew him. So this is how John's gospel begins, with a great affirmation of Christ as God. But what I want to focus on really is this title that the Lord Jesus Christ has here, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ given this title, the Word, the Logos in the Greek? And I'm going to try and be as simple as I can be. Again, there's much we could say, but really I just want us to have a basic understanding of what this title means and what the implications are for us. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ called the Word? In the beginning was the Word. Well, first of all, very simply, what is a word? What is a word? Well, a word gives expression. A word gives expression. It gives expression to our thoughts. What we are thinking is expressed through our thoughts. Our words give expression to them. Words give expression to our plans. Words give expression to our character. It's how our character is revealed. Our character is revealed through our words. It's how we communicate. We communicate through our words. Now, of course, it is often said that much of human communication is through body language, and perhaps there's some truth in that. But what is equally true is how much of a difference words make. Whether they are spoken or written, they make an enormous difference to expression, to learning about somebody, to learning about a person and knowing about that person. That's how you really know somebody. It's through the things they say. And so how does this apply in this context? So the Lord Jesus is the Word because God the Father, expresses himself through him. God expresses himself through Christ. God reveals himself. He reveals his character through Christ. Without Christ, well, you cannot truly know God. You only have a very limited knowledge of God. Yes, you can know something of God in the world around us. We know some things through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. All the wonders of creation, well, you can see God's handiwork. You can see the evidence of God. But Christ, when you know Christ, it makes all the difference. Then you know the Word. You know the character of God. You know the attributes of God. You know his wisdom. You can know his will, the will of God. You can see all of these things in Christ. You can't see them in the natural world. You can see evidence for God, but when you know Christ the Word, then all these things are revealed to us. God is expressed more clearly to us. And this is a wonderful thing. Christ is the Word, expressing God's character, expressing his will, expressing the plan of salvation, the gospel message. We know these things only through Christ. How can we be saved? It's only through Christ. You can't work it out by going to a beautiful natural scene. You need the Word to express these things to you, to reveal these things to you. The gospel message, and by the way, of course, when we think of words, when we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel, it is the greatest use of words. People speak so much that is trivial, particularly in our day and age. People, well, what do they talk about? They talk about things that are empty and trivial and that don't serve any purpose at all. What is the best use of words? What is the best use of language? Is to talk about Christ, is to talk about the one who is the Word. So dear friends, remember that, those of us who know the Lord, when you go and evangelize, when you share the gospel with other people, you are using language to its fullest purpose, to its most noble purpose. The greatest use of words is to speak about Christ, the one who is the Word, the one who reveals the Lord to us, reveals God to us. And so this is a wonderful thing. This is why the Lord is called the Word. But before we move on to our next point, just want to acknowledge, and I've mentioned this in our teaching service, that when we speak of the Word of God and that which reveals God to us, we also, of course, think of the Bible. We know that the Bible is the Word of God. And really, Christ and the Word of God, the Scriptures, they are one. Now, there is a distinction. Christ we call the incarnate Word, and the Bible we call the inscripturated Word. But really, they are one. You cannot separate them. You cannot have one without the other. Christ, when he came to earth during his earthly ministry, he would always quote the Scriptures, this Bible, this Word of God, to justify what he was doing, to explain who he was. It was almost as though, and I say this reverently, he was nothing without this Word. This Word explained everything, and this Word he was to fulfill. It was this Word. You cannot separate the one from the other. There is a distinction. One is incarnate, one is inscripturated, but they are both the Word of God. Dear friends, I say this because I want to explain to you how precious the Word of God is to us. This Bible ought to be as precious to you as Christ himself. And this is why we have the Scriptures at the very center of all that we do in this church. There are many churches that put the Scriptures to one side, or that give the Scriptures a secondary role in service. Well, that is almost like putting Christ to one side. That is like putting Christ to one side. If you're going to put the Bible to one side, you're putting Christ to one side, because he is the Word of God. So, dear friends, I hope we are getting some understanding of why he has this title. In the beginning was the Word. But I'm supposed to be applying this evangelistically. My second heading, the Word gives purpose. The Word gives purpose. Now, words have purpose. Of course they do. Words have meaning. And this is what Christ gives to each and every one of us. He gives meaning. And this is so important. This is what we declare to people in the world around us. People are without meaning. They have fallen for atheism and unbelief. Atheism, of course, will assert that there is no meaning to this world. There's no meaning to the universe. There's no meaning to this life. That's what they will say, because, of course, they believe in evolution and so on. They will say that life and the world around us, well, it's just chance, it's just accident. Everything ultimately came out of nothing, and therefore all is meaningless. There is no great meaning to this world. There is no great purpose. That's what the atheist thinks. That's what the unbeliever will hold to. But there is purpose. There was a meaningful Word that spoke that created all things. And we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is shown as creator. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is, of course, he's God, the creator God. He created all things. And how were things created? They were created meaningfully. He's the Word. There is meaning to life, dear friends. If there's anybody here who has fallen for the atheistic fallacy, this falsehood, that this life is meaningless, dear friends, turn away from it. I see so many people. They struggle so much nowadays in their lives because they can't see the point or meaning in their lives. What is the point ultimately in everything we do, they will say to themselves? What is the point in working hard? What is the point in being successful? What is the point in earning lots of money? You know, there is that verse in the New Testament, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So many people know this and understand this, and they say to themselves, what is the point? What's the meaning of doing all of this work if we're all just going to die? And it's certain you can carry nothing out. This is the state of so many people in this world. They're living meaningless existences. And this, of course, is why there's a great decline in morality. Moral standards have gone down. Because what is the point of being moral? What is the point of being a good person if there is no God? Well, what is the point? What is the point of being nice and kind if there is no God, and then when you die, there's nothing after that? What is the point? What is the meaning? This is the world we are living in at this present time. But dear friends, the scriptures teach us. This is what the Word teaches us. There is meaning. The scriptures teach us that there is a point to life, a meaning to life. And what is the meaning that is presented to us in the scriptures? Well, dear friends, let me put it to you in this way. There are many things I could say, but this ultimately is the meaning of life and the point of life. One day we will die and we will meet God. Are you prepared for that day? That's the meaning of your life. That's the point of your life. Are you prepared for meeting God? Everything else is secondary. The amount of money you have, the house that you have, family and so on, that's all, well, it almost pales into comparison. The meaning of your life, are you prepared for that day? Because there is a God. There is a holy God, and you will have to stand before him one day. And the meaning of your life, the point of your life, are you ready? Are you ready for that day? That's the only thing that's going to matter when you stand before God. Dear friends, there is meaning. There is meaning to this world. There is no pointlessness. There is a meaning and purpose of life. And this is the great meaning. We find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. But thirdly, my third heading, the Word saves. The Word saves. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world? There was a great purpose, of course. The Lord Jesus didn't come down just for no reason at all. The second person of the triune Godhead. Well, he came, of course, to prepare us for that day when we will stand before the holy God. You cannot prepare yourself. You can try and be a good person, but as we so often say, you will never be good enough for God when you stand before God. You can try to be good, you won't be good enough. You'll fall always short because of your sin. Have you thought of your sin? Dear friends, we're thinking about words this morning. Let's put everything else aside, all the things that you've done, because that would be enough to condemn you. But just think about all the words that you've spoken. God knows every single word that you have spoken. Every single word, even your first word when you were a baby, a toddler, when you said your first word. God knows every single word. Now, have all your words been holy? Have they all been clean? Have they all been gentle and graceful? Or have they, in fact, have you ever been hateful? Well, I'm sure we have. Have you said hateful words? Things that will hurt people? Insults? God has seen and recorded those words. Have you said things that are vulgar? Have you sworn? Have you cussed? Have you taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you blasphemed? That's a breaking of God's commandments. Have you lied? Of course, when we lie with our lips, with our mouths. How many lies have we spoken? If you were to add up all the lies in your life, dear friends, it would be so many. So even if you didn't count all the things that you've done, just the things that you've said are enough to condemn you, more than enough to condemn you. Your words, dear friends, you need the word. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You need a savior. You must go to him. Now, on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he uttered words, didn't he? He was on the cross, he died on the cross, and well, people could see that he was dying, but it was his words, what he said, that expressed to us exactly why he was dying. The purpose, there was meaning behind Christ's death. He didn't die for nothing. There was a great purpose. Let me give you one of the sayings. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was one of the Lord's seven sayings on the cross, and it is so full of meaning. Why did God forsake him on the cross? That was what was happening. Christ on the cross, it was not an ordinary death. God was pouring out his anger, his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of something Christ had done? No. But because of all that we have done, all of our ugly words, all of our swearing, all of our lying, all of the things, all of the other things that we've done, they were all placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took the punishment for us. Instead of us dying on the cross, he was forsaken of God. He was punished. And he bore all our sins away because of his amazing love. That's why he did it. You know, there are some things, let me just say this, there are some things that words cannot express. We're talking about the word, but for us, most certainly, for us human beings, there are some things that words cannot express, and one of those things is the love of God toward us. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ die for us, for sinners? There are some people who know us and they wouldn't do anything for us. Other human beings, and perhaps even people who we know quite well, even in our family, they wouldn't even really do anything for us. They don't care about us and they don't know all the bad things that we've done, all the secrets of our hearts. They don't even know the worst about us and yet they don't care about us. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows absolutely everything. All the worst things, and yet his love is firm, his love is true, his love is just like Christ himself, from everlasting to everlasting. There are no words that can describe, fully describe the love of God toward us. We can only know these things by faith, and it is the greatest thing we could ever possibly know. The word of God. But dear friends, I come to my last heading. Christ will have the final word. Christ will have the final word. You know, sometimes people say this. Sometimes people are very happy to have the final word in an argument, because if you have the final word, it means you've won. You've won the argument. I was having an argument, but I got the final word. And it means you've won the argument. Well, dear friends, be in no doubt about this. Christ will ultimately have the final word. You know, in the book of Revelation, what he says. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And you know that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Again, language words. But, well, what does this mean? Well, it means that, well, yes, Christ had the first word. He's the Alpha. In the beginning was the Word. He had the first word. He will have the final word at the very end. He's the Omega. That's what it means. So, dear friends, why would you not turn to the Lord? There are so many people who, as I've already mentioned, they will speak foolish things. They will say all sorts of blasphemies against Christ. We see them, unbelievers, when we go out to evangelize, they will say all kinds of things to us and about Christ and about the Bible. But who's going to have the final word, dear friends? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. All other words will fade away, but Christ's word shall not fade away. Dear friends, do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know the one who is the Word? Don't go away and speak nonsense and try and speak words of unbelief to yourself. Try and convince yourself that these things are not real, that this is all fake, that I don't have to worry about these things. Are you going to talk to yourself? Vain words? It's Christ who's going to have the final word. And everybody else will be speechless. All the atheists, all the unbelievers, all the arguments they make, they won't count for anything at all. It's Christ who has the final word. Dear friends, you must turn to him, the Alpha, the Omega, the Word, who was with God and was God. He will return one day. You must turn to him. Repent of your sin. Go to the Lord. Pray to him. Use your own words. Use your own words of confession. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I know there is forgiveness with thee. And the Lord will hear your words and bless you and save you. This is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. May the Lord help us, each one, to understand these things this morning.